It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. It is time for the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Neva Pyatt this morning, sitting in the driver's seat, and my good, sweet friend Sue is stepping in here for Monica today, and my other good, sweet friend Judy Gifford is our guest today. Good morning, Sister Judy.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm blessed and highly favored. I want the microphone over there so that you're looking kind of toward the...
Oh, okay.
You know, toward the iPad.
I look at Sue, and yeah. I make eye contact with her.
Our Facebook sponsor today is Grants Auction and Realty. We appreciate each one of our sponsors so very much. They've been with us since the beginning of this program in 2005 or 2006, a long time anyway, and we appreciate them. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. Or you can post it right on our Facebook page, and we'll see it about halfway through the program. Or there's one more way to our cell phone, 580-485-0837. You can send a prayer request there. I think maybe I've covered everything. Will you pray to start us out, Sister Judy?
I will. We pray hard today.
Yeah, we will.
Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, for life, for breath, for strength. Especially for your mercy, Lord, and what you did for us on the cross. We're thankful that you reveal yourself to us, and we're thankful for these airways, Lord, and for this internet, for the opportunity, Lord, to share your word. We ask for the anointing because we know I am nothing. I know I am nothing, and you're everything. I'm just clay. I want to be a glove today, Lord, with your hand inside, oh God, calling the shots, moving, Lord, as you would have it to be. Anoint this word, quicken our minds, anoint everyone in this room that we may glorify you today. And those who are listening, I pray you'll bless them and strengthen them and help them through this word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And so your topic today is finish well.
Finish well.
All right.
You know, Brent kind of got me started going on this topic at church. But anyway, he got to talking about it's a couple of Aaron's sons and what they did, what they were supposed to do, because, and he said something that I don't know if I missed it, but I just wasn't aware of it. But every time that and I probably known it, but I just let it slip. But every time the fire of God in the temple was lit, man did not light it. God sent fire from heaven and he lit it. And he talked about these two sons. It was their job and how they had been through. They'd been in Egypt. They came through the Red Sea. They saw all the miracles. They saw all the miracles. Can you believe all those plagues? We were studying those in Ladies Bible Study last night. I mean, there was lice. There was frogs. There was darkness. There was blood. There was hail. And eventually, finally, it was the firstborn, and God was showing his power and his strength, you know, and what he could do. But as time goes on, the job of these two boys was to keep the lamp lit and to do the priestly duties and to keep the lamp lit and just to take care of it, take care of that fire. Well, they come in one day and the fire's gone out. They have been busy doing other things, and they let the fire of God go out. Well, when they let the fire of God go out, you know, what do you do in a situation like that? Because only God legally can start that fire. If they do it any other way, that's not God's way. Do you remember when David brought in the ark And he had been in the Philistine country, and then the Philistines put it on a cart, and they take it to a man's land, and it's there almost, 20 years? I mean, it's there a long time, and God blesses that man. And then finally David goes, well, we need this back where it belongs in the temple, you know. So he goes, and they get that cart, a cart, and they start bringing it on a cart. Well, that wasn't God's plan. Those things had to be carried on a pole. They had to be certain kind of pole through rings that were there that held, and men, at least four men, carrying this ark. They were really, I think, supposed to go so far and then sacrifice, and David finally did this. But at first, he was just being careless. He wasn't looking into the Word. He wasn't seeing what really God was expecting of him. And so really, if you look at it, it was David's fault that this man died, because this man was walking along beside the ark, and there was an animal pulling this cart. As the animal stumbles and the ark shakes, and so the man was afraid that it was going to fall, and he reaches out to touch it, and the wrath of God came on him that he had the audacity to touch that when he wasn't a priest. There was a certain way things were to be done. And David had not followed the rules. And because of that, this man dies. Mm. And it upsets David so much, he goes, well, forget it. I'm not bringing this home. I'm afraid of the Lord. I don't even know. You know, but the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Mm-hmm. There's times for us to really know, what do we need to do to be saved? What do we really have to do? What do we really need to do to make it all the way home? What do we need to do? If we're in an airplane, it's not good enough to have a good takeoff. Good takeoff's wonderful. Don't you love it? That's my favorite part of the flight. When you're flying, and I mean, it's exhilarating because you can't go that fast on the ground. And I like fast. You would know there's such a little daredevil right here inside my body, you know. But I'm like, I like fast. My son took me riding on the motorcycle. He thought he was going to scare me, I guess. But I just hung on. Looked over and like, yep, we're going fast, you know. But in a plane, I mean, you can really go fast. And I like being by the window and things just going, they're going by fast. And that plane and that uplift, you know, and it's just exhilarating. And you're on your way somewhere exciting, and you're just, you know, you're just, most of the time for us, it was, we were going on a mission trip. We were going across the waters, you know. I don't care about being fish food. So I already did a lot of praying coming, particularly coming back. But, you know, it's good to have that wonderful beginning, but it's not enough. Mm-hmm. We can have a wonderful beginning. But my big concern over the ocean was that long flight. You know, I've been waiting for the Lord to come for a long time. I've been in the air soaring for him, so to speak. I've been serving him, and I'm waiting on him to come. But it's not enough just to do good while I'm in the air. I got to have a good landing. I got to finish well. I can't mess up here at the last few years, or last few days, or last few moments. We none of us know how long we have to live. And we don't know when he's going to say, it's enough, come home. So what we have to do is say, Father, I'm going to be faithful until death. Because the Bible says if we're faithful till death, we get a crown of life. Amen? It's not enough. You know, here's my big concern. When first time I'm on a plane, it's so cute, first time I'm on a plane, I didn't know anything about it. I'd been in one time in a small little plane because I invited the most people to church, and during the revival of the evangelist was a pilot, and I won. And so I got to go up. That's the only air experience I'd ever had. Well, I flew from Oklahoma City back to Denver because we lived in Colorado. I was by myself. I was flying, and the lady came up, and I couldn't hear because the engines were roaring. And she came up to me and said, would you like a cocktail? And I couldn't understand that. And I said, pardon me? She said, would you like a cocktail? And I said, a cocktail? She said, no, a cocktail, a drink. I said, oh, no. I couldn't understand. And then, but when we started to land, they do. I just know it starts making noise. And the engine starts going, making, I'm like, oh, what's happening? What's going on? You know, well, we were fine and we landed fine. But, you know, I want to stand before the Lord someday. It's been my desire for years. And hear him say these words.
Well done.
Good and faithful servant. I like the man who said this. He said he had muscular dystrophy. His name's David Ring. And if you want to Google him, it'd be neat to Google him. But he was at he was with Bill Gaither, and he was singing. And of course, he can't carry a tune. He's an impediment in his speech. And he after he sang, he said, "You know, I'm still in the oven, and Jesus is still in the kitchen. And one of these days, he's gonna pull me out, and he's gonna say, 'Well done, son.'" And, you know, that's what we want to hear. It's not good enough to make a good start, but we have to do the things to keep us afloat. We have to do the things to keep us in the air. We have to do the things that's going to get us to our destiny so that when we fly in, we're flying into Honduras. I think you've flown into Honduras.
Uh-huh.
They said it's the shortest runway in the world. And because of the mountains, they have to have special training, those pilots do, in order to come in there. And they told us that. So I was a little concerned about the landing. You know, we got in there, and they got us stopped, you know, just pretty quick. Now, another time we were taking off in Juliaca, Peru. And literally, we're taking off, and we're so high that the airplane cannot get the altitude it needs. So here's what happens. We're trying to get altitude and we're in this takeoff, and we hear, bam, 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 like that. And I'm like, what's going on? What's that? Missionary. There was a missionary with us. We're missionary because he had flown in with us from his city where he lived up to Juliaca. Juliaca is, if you've never been to Juliaca, it's very high. There's very little grass, very little money, very little of anything. And those people, the reason we're there working, when we got to talk, the people got to talk and testify, and they interpreted for them. They said, we wanted a Bible school here like other cities have. And so we prayed like crazy people. And he said, we just prayed regardless. And here you guys are. And we were starting to build for them and build a Bible school. I got sicker than I've ever been on any mission trip there because I was drinking tea, hot tea. Well, they weren't getting it hot enough to kill the impurities. And there's no central system in that city for cleaning their water. And I got so deathly sick. I stood up in that room so sick. I mean, I had dysentery. I had throwing up, and I am like standing and looking out the window, and the sun's coming to the east, and the sun's coming in on me, and I'm looking down, and there's a little lady, and she has an orange juice stand, and she has one glass, and she's taking that glass and filling it with orange juice and giving it to someone. I'm watching her taking their money, and then they just in there drinking, and then they hand her the glass back, and then she washes the glass, and then she pours another drink for the next person. She had long, pretty hair and had it braided in the back and had a little derby hat on, little full skirt. And I sat there and said, thank you, Lord, that I'm not that little lady having to sell. I'm seasick, but there's something to be thankful for that I'm not having to sell orange juice on the street. But anyway, mission trips are awesome if you get a chance to go. It's one thrill of the lifetime. But I'm just telling you, the parts I really enjoy are the flying. I enjoy the flying in and coming back. I remember going to the Caymans. And on the way over there, I'm saying, Lord, I feel like you want me to speak. I just feel like I need to speak. If you want me to speak, what do you want me to speak on? Bam, 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 bam. The five gifts of God. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I sat there, what are the gifts of God? And sure, and nobody had asked me to speak. What audacity. Nobody had asked me to speak. We're going to a foreign country, taking a mission team, and I'm speaking, I think. So, but I knew in my heart I was going to speak. So God gave me this sermon, you know, what are the gifts of God? What are the gifts of God? Well, first we look, we've got the world that he's given us, the sun, the moon, the stars, and all the creation that he's given us. He's given us our bodies and air to breathe and water to drink and all those beautiful things. But what are his gifts? What are his promises? What is he things he's promised us? His promises are salvation. He's promised us that if we call on him, we would be saved. He's promising, he already made the provision. He died on the cross. He rose again. He suffered and bled and died. And then he gives us the word He gave us all this word. All these men wrote it. And then the fullness of time, Jesus came, and then these men wrote about it. They walked with him, and then they wrote, 40 different men wrote 66 books. And we have it today. And we look at the patriarchs, and they never had the word. They had the law to follow. And then even the disciples didn't have anything but the law, because they hadn't written it yet. They're the ones that got to write it. John, you know, and Peter and all those people, they wrote their books. But anyway, the gift of God, along with his salvation, he has a package deal. There's healing. Mm. The word soros means healing, deliverance, and salvation. What a deal. What a deal that we get if we can believe. The Bible says all things are possible to him who will believe. Mm-hmm. So the if is right there. If you will believe. Will you believe? That's why some people don't get healed, is because we are measuring our own goodness and forgetting it's a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We don't do that with salvation, because we humble ourselves to know there's not a way in this world I'm going to get saved until I give my heart to Jesus. And we've heard that preached enough that we know he's the only way. Now, some people don't. I met someone here in this town that don't know that he's the only way. I gave her some scriptures, and I copied them off for the nursing home, and here they are. This is one she wouldn't take. This says salvation, and I have a little book here by Greg Moore from the Andrew Womack Ministries. He's a minister up there. Well, he's got all these scriptures categorized: the Holy Spirit, prosperity, guidance, fear. So I copied hope, forgiveness, and salvation. And I went down to the place and because I don't have a computer set up at home where I can just type it off and everything, and I can't bother people to do that for me at church. So I just copied this and paid for it. They gladly did it for me, and then I passed them out. Well, she wouldn't take this one. And this one says salvation, but she took hope, and she took forgiveness. I said, enjoy. Because the first time she sat in my service, I'm getting to go to the nursing home now.
You told me that. That's great.
I'm
what
so
a blessing.
Tickled. Oh, it's so fun. And they just come and they just eat it up. I'm just like amazed. But the first time she sat in there with me. The second time I started talking, she scooted out. This last time she just whizzed by in her wheelchair, and I gave her these. And she wouldn't take salvation. So when she took the other two, I said, enjoy. God's word's powerful, so just take it. Have fun with it. I said, just enjoy. And then when she left, I go, get her, God. Get her. Because, you know, there is only one way to salvation. God didn't make five ways. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. So if we think we can be good enough, we can attend church, we got saved when we were little, we tithe, well, we fast a couple of times a week, fine, all that's good. But guess what? It's not salvation. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I looked at those sweet old people. You know what I found out about old people? They're just people that got old.
Uh-huh.
That's all. They're just people that got old. They laugh at my jokes. They laugh at stuff that's funny. I told them this week, I said, God created woman for Adam, and I said, and my husband would say, here's what Adam said, whoa, man. And they laughed. Uh-huh. You know, they're just people. But I also told them the story of the little lamb. I told them the story, and this was the second time I spoke. And I told them the story because I heard a Baptist preacher telling this on TBN one time. And he's sitting there telling his story, and he and his wife, and he said, when I was a little boy, he said, we had nothing. We were dirt poor. My dad was an alcoholic. He was vile. He was temper. He said, you just stayed away from my dad. And he said, but someone gave me a lamb. And he said, that was my baby. And he said, that lamb grew. That lamb would follow me to the bus, come and come back and wait on me and come and walk back home with me. And he said, I guess he got it like when he's about three. Excuse me, nine, about 3 years later. I mean, he had that lamb quite a while. But he came home one night, and when he came home from the bus, and the lamb wasn't there. And so he's like walking up to the house, and his daddy is out there having a fit with the car and cussing and carrying on and trying to work on his car. And he said, so you just go around, Dad. And so he went around, and when he went to the other side of the car, there was his lamb on the ground, and his dad had taken a tire tool and it hit that lamb. He said, my lamb started nosing around what daddy was doing. And he said, when I saw my lamb laying in its blood, he said, I took off running for the woods. And he said, he killed the lamb. He killed the lamb. He said, I was just screaming. He killed the lamb. And he said, I went to the back of a tree and I leaned up against the tree and I cried. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. And he said, hate filled my heart so much for my daddy that I hated the world. I hated everybody. And he ran away from home. And he was on the streets for all those years, being mean, doing everything he could, into drugs, into alcohol, into everything. Well, he eventually, about when he's 18, he's pretty young, he got married. And he's wife didn't know how to be good to my wife. And he said, but one night I came home, and she looked like an angel. And he said, what happened to you? She said, I've been watching Christian TV, and I got saved tonight. I gave my heart to Jesus. And he said, oh, she said, would you please go to church with me Sunday? Would you go? And he said, miracle of miracles. I said, yes. And he said, I was so tired of the way I was living, and I didn't know any way out. And he said, we went to church that Sunday, and sitting in that church service, he said, that pastor could have said about anything, and I wouldn't have paid much attention to him. But he got up, and he opened the Word, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And he said, he had my attention. And he said, I listened to that sermon. And when that pastor gave the altar call, he said, it crossed my mind to get up and walk out. But he said, I got up and I faced that altar and I ran to that altar. He said, I threw myself over that altar and I said, God, kill me or cure me. Kill me or cure me. God, heal me. I can't live like this anymore. Heal me or cure me or kill me. And he said, this peace came over him, and he was sitting and TBN and telling his story as a Baptist preacher. God had delivered that man, called him to preach, using his life for happiness and good and glory. And I told these people that. And after I told them, and I told them, I can't call for you. The Bible said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. But you have to do your own calling. I can't call for you. I can lead you in prayer and I can pray for you, but I can't call for you. I said, Steve Hill did it this way. Here's how Steve Hill called. When he was trying to get over drugs, he was shaking. He was trying to kick cold turkey. A preacher came to his door who would regularly come visit him. His mother let that preacher back where he was laying in bed. And he started yelling, help me, preacher, help me, help me, help me. And he said, Steve, I can't help you. But he said, then why'd you come here? He said, Steve, I can't help you, but there's one who can. His name's Jesus. And if you'll call on him, Steve, he'll help you. And he said, I heard Steve Hill tell this story when I was in Argentina with my husband and a mission team. And we had just spent a week working on a church, and he was the missionary. And he's telling the story of his conversion. And he's saying how he was shaken and how he was decided he would quit being a drug runner, how he would quit and he would receive the, you know, he was going to straighten up his life. Then how he started when that man says, Steve, I can't help you, but there's one who can. His name is Jesus. And if you'll call on him, Steve, he will help you. And he said, I started yelling at the top of my voice, Jesus, Jesus. And he said, as I yelled Jesus, my body quit shaking. I got peace in my heart. My problem was over. And then he got up from there, got some counseling, went to Teen Challenge. In Teen Challenge, he met a little girl, and they got married. They wound up on a mission field in Argentina, standing on a bus, telling us how he got saved. And I said, and then there was one other man. He was on a cross beside Jesus, and how he called. He said, remember me. Just remember me when you come to your kingdom. It don't really matter how you call, just so you call. And then I asked him to pray with me. And after we prayed, a man rolled up to me, a dark-headed man, had lost a leg, was on oxygen, so he wasn't really old enough to be in a nursing home, except he had physical problems. And he rolled up to me, And he said, would you pray for me? Mm-hmm. And I said, are you wanting to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior? And he said, yes. I said, have you ever done it before? And he said, no. And I said, okay, you follow me in prayer, okay? And he said the sinner's prayer. And then this last week, I took him a Bible. And so I just copied off scripture for everybody. And just we passed it out this last week. So I appreciate your prayers that when I go there, that not for my glory, but for their help. And for Jesus' sake, for what he did on the cross, that they will receive it. And this little Jehovah's Witness lady will receive Jesus. I've been praying for her. And she's going to. She's going to get the truth. She's going to hear enough of it. Because you see, the Bible says you shall know the truth. And the truth makes you free.
That's right.
You don't have to really have anybody hitting your head and pressing your hair down. You know, you don't really have to have anybody patting your back when you get saved. You can be all by yourself in a room and all you have to say is, Jesus, 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 help me. That's enough. I heard a story, and I'm going to go ahead and tell this today. It is really cool. You all may have seen it. I heard it this week on Daystar. This man, he liked to call himself Diamond Jim. He was a kind of a self-made man. He lived in Canada. His grandparents raised him. His grandma used to make him tapioca pudding. He said he had a good life. They put him through flight school. He became a pilot. He was pretty cocky. He said he really was very self-sufficient. He could fix anything. He married, lived his life, but without God. Mm-hmm. He didn't really think he needed God in his life, but he had one thing going for him. And I really believe this is why this man did not go to hell. And why he's sitting on TV telling his story is because he had a wife who prayed. He had a church, her church. Women, if you've got husbands or family that will not relent, to will not surrender to Jesus, don't stop. Keep praying. Keep praying. If you've got kids out there living like the devil, acting like the world, keep praying. Keep praying. Karen Wheaton tells about her prodigal. Took her 3 years praying for a daughter who backslid and went off, left her family, left her husband, went out to do only Lord knows what. And when she would act up, the Lord would tell, when she started doing something bad, the Lord would tell Karen, go to the church, fast and pray all day. God would break that woman's plans, her daughter's plans. And finally, for Karen, she kept praying, and God told her that day, and she was at a church praying, and her daughter was planning on meeting somebody and driving somewhere to meet a guy. And on the way, as Karen is interceding, God block it, God stop it, God do something, and she's praying, guess what happened? The police got behind her daughter and picked her up. She wound up getting handcuffed and taken to jail. And in jail, she's like, I'm tired of this life. I want my mama. I want my husband. I want my family. So she calls her mama. And her mama then called her other sister and said, get up, get dressed. We're going to get Lindsay. And they went and got Lindsay. But before Lindsay came home, she would stand. She lives out in the country, so she got by with this. She'd open her front door and she'd holler, Lindsay! Lindsay was nowhere, hundreds of miles away. Lindsay, she'd call, come back to God. She said, I call her soul back to God. Lindsay, come back to God. Let me tell you, the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You keep praying. Keep seeking God. Her prodigal came back, is now in ministry, has written a book about what happened to her and standing by her mama and saying, yeah, I messed up, but isn't God great to bring me home, you know? And isn't God good? And look what God did in a miracle of miracles that the husband allowed, that he didn't freak out for 3 years and go remarry or something. And at one point he said, he called Karen, and he said, I'm done. I'm done. I'm going to move on with my life. Karen went and got in her car. She drove to their little center where they had church for with kids. They have what they call the ramp. And she sat out in the parking lot. And she said, God, you promised. God, I know she'll get saved eventually. No, you promised me her family. You promised, God. And she said, the Holy Spirit just somewhere quietly inside her said, say, Lindsay and Tommy are getting back together. find it. She said, Lindsay and Tommy are getting back together. No, say it. Say it right. Say it loud. Lindsay and Tommy are getting back together. Karen, say it loud. Lindsay and Tommy are getting back together. Okay, say it again, Karen. So she starts saying, Lindsay and Tommy are getting back together. Lindsay and Tommy, they're getting back together. There's something about faith when we speak it out of our mouth and it activates things. I really believe it does. And she said she pretend it's like midnight, so she can't call anybody, even her best friend Pam. She said, I pretended to pick up the phone and go, Pam, have you heard? Lindsay and Tommy are getting back together. Mom, have you heard? Lindsay and Tommy are getting back together. And then the next day, she said, I called them for real and said, they're getting back together. Really? Yeah. Well, God told me they're getting back together. They're getting back together. And she said, then Pam picked it up. She called me and said, hey, have you heard? Lindsay and Tommy are getting back together. And she said, you know, and eventually that happened. And I want to tell my story about Diamond Jim, but maybe we better pray first.
We do have several prayer requests, so we'll stop and take those right now.